Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles first to Titus chapter 3 and then to Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to read these two passages as a reminder of essentials of the faith. And after looking at these, we're going to talk about what it is we're celebrating again. In Titus chapter 3, verse 3. "For we too were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved by various passions and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, detesting one another. But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us, not by works of righteousness that we had done, but according to His mercy, through the washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit. He poured out His Spirit on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, having been justified by His grace, we may become heirs with the hope of eternal life." Now look, if you would, in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you previously lived according to the ways of this world, according to the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit now working in the disobedient. We too all previously lived among them in our fleshly desires, carrying out the inclinations of our flesh and thoughts. And we were by nature children under wrath, as the others were also. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love that He had for us, made us alive with Christ, even though we were dead in trespasses. You are saved by grace. He also raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavens in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might display the immeasurable riches of His grace through His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For you are saved by grace through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time for us to do." May God add His blessing to this reading from His holy and inspired word. What's this whole Reformation thing about? It's about the fact that the church had lost sight of the truth. Generations of church leaders spent little or no time reading the Bible. Many of them couldn't read the Bible. People bought their way for themselves or their offspring or their friends into church office. You could pay to become a leader in the church. And in turn, having become a leader in the church, you could tell other people they needed to pay you in order to be right with God. It was a criminal racket. It was fraud that was going on. In the name of God, people were being told blatant lies, things that were not just not in the Bible, they were contrary to the Bible. They were opposed to what Scripture teaches. There are still folks today being taught explicitly that it is a sin to say, I know I'm going to heaven. I know I have eternal life. That's presumption. You're not to know, you're to hope, you're to try hard, but always remember you could lose it any time. You better stay close. Stay close to us, stay close to the church, keep doing the sacraments, do what you have to do because you don't want to lose it. And you don't know that you have it, and anybody who says they know that they have eternal life doesn't have it. That's being taught in churches right here in our own country. Well, how does that square with 1 John, where we are told these things have been written that you may know that you have eternal life? Do you think if the Bible says these things were written that you may know that you have eternal life, you're supposed to not know that you have eternal life? This is explicitly stated by God. I want you to know this. I want you to know it. And yet we've got churches telling people, you can't know. Now who are you going to go by? The person in the funny clothes or the person who's reading the Bible? The Bible says, these things have been written that you may know that you have eternal life. So people who tell you, you can't know it, clearly they don't know it. But God says you can. If you're trusting in Jesus, these changes in your life are not the result of your hard work. They're the result of His grace.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I've had the privilege of traveling to many beautiful places around the world, but my first trip to Israel, I felt as if I was coming home. The stories I had learned in childhood came alive as I visited the actual places where these events happened. The wonderful truth about our faith is that it isn't built on myths and make-believe. Christianity is grounded in the facts of history. To be able to walk in the places where Jesus walked, to look out over the beautiful Sea of Galilee, to enjoy the ancient city of Jerusalem, and pray on the Mount of Olives amid the ancient trees, is an unforgettable experience. I took my wife and two of my children with me the first time I went to Israel. This time, I'd like to take you. Visit our website for complete details.
To learn more about this April 2019 travel opportunity with Jim Wood, visit wvr.org/Israel.
To step out of my comfort zone, to the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and is holding out.
So what did we see as we looked through history at the pivotal points of argument, the critical things that the church rediscovered? First of all was the question of authority. Is it what people say that counts? Or is it what God says that counts? Well, obviously it's what God says. But where do we know what God says? You know it from the church. No, actually you know it from Scripture. If you look at church history, you find one of the embarrassing times in the Western church was when you had three popes simultaneously all excommunicating each other. This guy kicked out the other two. This guy kicked out the other two. This guy kicked out the other two. You know what? The office of Pope is nowhere in Scripture. So you've got people fighting over something that's an imaginary chair. And so to argue that you've got to be in submission to that position, to whoever occupies that position, not biblical. What you have to be in submission to is God's Word. God's Word doesn't change. God's Word doesn't contradict itself. Scripture alone has supreme authority. It's not the only authority, it's the supreme authority. Okay? Scripture doesn't change. God's Word does not change. You can get different translations of it, but the thing itself, the message of the Scripture, does not change. If you read the Bible in Spanish, it says the same thing as the Bible in English. If you read the Bible in French, it says the same thing. If you read it in German, it says the same thing. And you and I need to understand that the reason why we look to Scripture alone above all other authorities is because Scripture alone is God-breathed. It is without error. It is totally authoritative over every area of life. It is not enough to say we look to Scripture alone, sola scriptura. That's not enough. You've got to obey the Scriptures. Because God's Word isn't just perfect. It is the standard that He commands us to live by. So we say Scripture alone. We also say that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. That is absolutely essential. Where would we get such ideas? Well, we just read it. For you are saved by grace through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is God's gift. Not from works, so that no one can boast. Why do we say that it's by grace alone? Because God says it is by grace alone. It's not God doing some and we do the rest. It is God who saves. And He did it not because we deserved it. He deliberately chose the sinners. Who else did He have to choose from? Right? So for people to think that somehow they did something, they contributed something, they had a part in it, well, yes, God did send Jesus to die on the cross, but I had to believe. It's by grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Salvation comes by grace through faith, and faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of Christ. You and I aren't saved because of what we did. We are saved because of what He did. And you cannot forget that if you're going to be His child. If you start to believe that somehow you saved yourself, that is evidence that you are not saved. It's not losing your salvation. It just makes it clear you're not trusting in Him. You're trusting in you. Paul says to the Galatians, when they were tempted to think that there was something they could do to earn their salvation, he says, if you accept circumcision, you are cut off from Christ. You're not really saved if you're trying to earn it. You can't earn it. None of us can earn it. The only hope for any of us is Christ alone. And Christ alone is not only our only hope, He is the only one through whom we have access to the Father. Don't try and pray through somebody else. There is only one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus. Where did you get that? Straight out of Scripture. 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. There is no other mediator. And if you try to get to God through another means other than the only means which God says He has provided. It is not because you're afraid. It is because for some reason you do not fear defying the Lord of glory. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There is no alternative to it. Christ alone. But of course, with that, it means that I'm not the mediator. It means Grandpa, who was a pastor of a church, is not the mediator. You can't go on the merits of someone else. You can't pray through somebody else. You need to come through Jesus. And God will let you talk directly to him. Now please understand that, because I'm telling you, there's tons of people right here in our country who don't understand that. They really believe that they're going to go to heaven, because I've had people say to me, well, there have been a lot of ministers in my family. Oh, well, I guess that fixes everything. One of my great joys across the years has been leading pastors to Christ. You're saying that they were pastors and they weren't really Christians? Yeah. Yeah. And I'll tell you, in history, two of the names that should come to your mind who were clergy before they were saved, one was that friar, Martin Luther. And that's why once he came to know Christ, he wanted everybody to know. He didn't want others to miss out like he had for so long. Well, that's really wonderful. Who's the other guy? Wesley. Wesley was the president of the Holy Club at Oxford, a group of people who were concerned about the lack of spirituality in the churches. He could recite scripture. He could explain theology, but he didn't know Jesus. And so he went to the mission field, all the way to the state of Georgia, the colony of Georgia, actually, back then. He went to Georgia, and he pastored a church down on the coast. He fell in love with a young woman. She did not return his affections. And so he quickly saw that she was not only not as spiritual as he had thought, but that she was, in fact, very deficient in her walk with God and needed to be kicked out of the church. The church said, no, you need to go. And he was disgracefully sent back to England. And on the boat going back, there was a terrific storm. And he was terrified. But there was a group of Moravians who were rejoicing in the Lord. Not frightened in the storm, but trusting the Lord in the storm. And after the storm had passed, Wesley asked the leader of that Moravian group, "Why were you not afraid?" And the man responded by saying, "Do you know God?" Wesley said he was angered by the question because he knew that he could explain things about God that were way beyond this man's understanding. And he said, but that isn't what he asked me. He didn't say, do you know about God? He said, do you know God? And I knew in the way that he intended the question, the answer was no. And so Wesley embarked on a quest to come to know God. And Wesley, in the midst of that journey, searching, looking, praying, seeking, heard the good news like he'd never heard it before. God's Spirit opened his eyes, changed his heart, and Wesley became a true Christian. Let me tell you something. You can sit here, listen, take notes, write reports, memorize scripture, and go to hell. If you're not trusting in Jesus and in Him alone, you're lost. You're lost. Jesus is the only one who saves. And once you trust in Him, you will still appreciate the God-ordained role of pastor, elder, deacon. These are good gifts from God to the church, but they are not mediators to God. They are not the ones through whom we can approach Him. We come directly to Him with the spirit of adoption, and we call Him Daddy. Abba, Father. Hallelujah. He is the God who loved us when we were dead in trespasses and sins. He loved us and He saved us. He didn't save us by anything we had done. He saved us by grace. We receive it through faith, faith in Christ alone. As a result of that this is God's doing, He saved us. As a result, there is only one who is worthy to receive glory and honor and praise. The fifth of the solas, the only statements, is glory to God alone. Only God is worthy of our worship. We don't worship the saints. We don't worship the mother of Jesus. We worship God alone. You honor your father and mother. You honor those who are in authority. But you worship God alone. Glory to God alone. So, the order can be different, but I'll give you my order for the five solas. Okay? Say, you didn't say any of them in Latin. Well, that's because my Latin is lousy. Scripture alone. Grace alone. Faith alone. Christ alone, God alone, is to receive the glory. You need to know those things. You need to understand that those truths transformed individual lives and those truths transformed culture. It is because people began to understand those basic truths that we have the political freedoms that we have today in this country. Our individual freedom of conscience is grounded in an understanding of these truths that were brought into focus during the Reformation. It is because of that that we have the form of government that we do. It is because of that that we have the economy that we have. It is because of that that you are not required to go to the church closest to your home. It is because of that that you have the Bible written in your own language so that you can read and understand it for yourself. It's because of that that we have schools to teach the public how to read. That was the motivation. It was in order to make it so that people could discover for themselves the glorious truth of the gospel. Now, I'm not really all that keen on going to school. You have no idea how ignorant you are if you say that. I remember, by the way, not being terrifically enthused about some of my schooling growing up. But I'll tell you, even as a kid, what was precious to me, and that is the Word of God. And if you don't love His Word and want to know Him more, then I would challenge you to consider whether or not you know Him at all. Because God's Word is precious to God's people.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.